The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
You know, in our business, they say that there's peaks and there's valleys, and this is supposedly a slow time of year outside of the NBA draft. And yet, I look down, things are on my mind. I work on this show the night before. The night before, I go to my office, and I just kind of take a deep breath back. And Eric and I actually work on this, mostly Eric, day after day, just in terms of time and chasing guests and that sort. But we'll collaborate in the morning and say, yeah, I want to talk about this or talk about that. And sometimes I don't even tell Eric what I want to talk about. Today, it's just like there's so much going. It feels like a Monday during the NFL season. It's like a Monday in October where you have all the NFL, you have all the college football, you have the World Series going on, you have the start of the NBA, you have the start of the NHL, whatever else falls through. It feels like that, and I'm here in June. I love that. We'll have John Ireland with us here in about 15 minutes. The voice of the Lakers, what is going on in L.A.? There's a real arms race going on, guys. If you've not watched what's gone on here, maybe you have, everything with the trades that have happened. There are teams that are saying, we are going to go build a mega super team now to go compete against Golden State because we have no other choice. And then there's teams that say, we blow, we're never going to be very good, so let's get rid of our assets like Dwight Howard if you're Atlanta. So if you're Atlanta, you're suddenly a seller, and if I'm the Suns, I'm all over the teams that are looking at selling. Go after those teams if they're willing to give stuff away. If they're doing the garage sale at 6 o'clock in the morning and you can get a very talented player for a small asking price or two shirts for a dollar, whatever it is at your garage sale. Eric, you just did a garage sale. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm kind of the king of garage sales, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always charge more than 50 cents
a t-shirt. That is $2 for that shirt.
Yeah.
You can have that set of Uno cards that are stained from our kids chewing on them. For 75 cents, because we want to keep them.
I have a one-minute story I have to tell you about last year's garage sale, okay? Yeah, so there was this lady that came to our garage sale, not this year, but last year.
Yeah.
She approached me with a handful of T-shirts, okay?
Beautiful.
And she lowballed me on the price, which is fine. It's a garage sale. We spent probably 4 to 5 minutes haggling over a couple bucks, and I was like, okay, cool. That's fine. You can have these 9 shirts for $13 or whatever the price was.
And she's wanting them for 7.
Yeah, she wanted them for like 25 cents each.
Yeah.
And a couple of them were like pretty nice golf shirts, so I wasn't going to give those away.
Yeah.
I had to make a little bit off of it.
Well, you have to. You have to have a principle when you have a garage sale.
No lie, she pulled out a $100 bill to pay with.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's just beautiful.
I can't even begin to make this stuff up. And the look on my face, according to my parents, was, you've got to be effing kidding me.
That is beautiful.
We just spent 5 minutes haggling over $2, and you're going to be the one person that pays with a $100 bill at a garage sale.
At 7 in the morning when you have no change.
Oh, we always have change, but we didn't.
For a honey.
I mean, yeah, well,
not for
we figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's going on here with everything around the league is there are those organizations that are having that hard conversation. This is going to lead to the Suns. They're having that hard conversation of, yeah, we can put a team out on the floor because we have to, and we know we're not going to be very good, and we could either be not very good or we could decide to go for it and actually give the fans their money's worth. Like, I've sat here for the last 7-8 years and seen what the Suns have done, and I'm of the opinion some years the owner just doesn't care because he's making money hand over fist. And I actually think that there's times where he made decisions that had every last bit of ounce to do with how much money are we going to make versus, and I get it, I get this from people, you have to be a strong businessman, shrewd businessman. No, when you're running a sports franchise, you have to see opportunity. It's a different deal. You have to see when teams are going down. And you can't sit there and just say, well, this is how much we're going to spend and that's it. No, you cannot do that. And I think the owner has done that here to a certain extent until just recently. I'm not accusing Robert of being cheap. I'm accusing Robert of just sitting there saying, well, this is what we're going to do. And we're not really going to be reactive. And we're going to hire some incompetent people along the way, or we're going to undermine people along the way. I think in the last couple of years, it feels to me like they're finally figuring it out. Or that he's finally figuring it out. And all it takes is one gigantic step forward, if you're the Suns, or it's sitting on the sideline while everybody else is making moves. I understand that you can't be reactive. I get that. I'm not saying the Suns have to go out and do things right and left. Well, let's just take, for instance, the trade rumors that were out there yesterday and parse them out one by one. So the Suns and Porzingis. Do I believe that's the Knicks lighting a fire under Porzingis saying, dude, you're 21. Your brother can't tell us what to do. I'm Phil Jackson. Bleep you. This is what we're going to do. Yeah, I believe there's some of that. If there was more to it that he is available, the Suns would be absolutely crazy to not get involved. Then there's this DeAndre Jordan story that came out yesterday. Now, the Clippers can call all around all they want. They have Wiley Jerry West now in their front office. Jerry West fleecing teams is not something I want to be a part of. Not that I won't make a deal with the Clippers, but DeAndre Jordan for the number 4 pick?
What?
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No, no, no.
Tyson Chandler, number 4 for DeAndre Jordan?
No.
So because it's published and because there's columnists that were reacting towards it, you know, you look at that on the surface and say, there's no bleeping way I would do that.
There are so many teams, Brad, that are trying to get into that top 1 through 6.
Sure.
More so this year than every year. Just because the way the draft is, from what I've been reading, it's top heavy. And then it slips, and then at the end of the first round and into the beginning of the second round, your value goes back up. So the Suns are really sitting pretty because they have that early second round pick, and then obviously currently the number 4 pick.
But you know, Eric, if they trade back and take 5 and 10,
perfect.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, no problem. Let's do it.
Because I'll take Zach Collins at 10.
Yep,
and I'd be really happy with that. I would be at 5 if De'Aaron Fox is there at 5. I'd be very happy with that.
To move down one spot. And get an extra pick. Yeah, let's do that.
But it's you have to look at these deals. And the last one that's out there was Kevin Love in a 3-way deal. I'm not including the 4th pick overall for Kevin Love. In order to win and win big in the NBA, you have to have a big 3. At minimum, you have to have a big 3. I don't think I'm wrong in that. Nobody's going to dispute me on that. You can't just do it with one guy. We just saw in Cleveland what happened. It's 1 and 1/2. People say Kyrie Irving is a flat-out superstar. Kyrie Irving didn't show in game 3 or game 4. Didn't play well at all. Superstars do not show. So if I'm the Suns and I'm sitting there with Kevin Love and I part with the 4th pick, no. I'm willing to part with Marquese Chriss. I'm not as big on him as others. Doesn't mean I dislike him. It's just... Marquese Chriss, guy that can jump really high, make some dramatic dunks that make highlights. Can he do other things? Can he stay on the floor? Is he constantly in foul trouble? He's young. Yeah, he's a project. Yeah, he may be great. Maybe, might be. I don't know. I know Devin Booker is a star, and I know that his star is only going to rise. I know with the 4th pick, you should get a player that is a star. That leaves finding that other player that's available. So at all other option, your other first-round picks from Miami next year, those are all on the table. Anybody else but Devin Booker, I'm willing to make a deal, but not for Kevin Love at this stage. Some people yesterday said, you've been all over Kevin Love, wanting the Suns to get him. Well, why not now? You going back on your word? Things change with a player and how they are as a performer. Is Kevin Love a superstar? Can I put Kevin Love, Devin Booker, and a point guard together and go make a formidable run? I actually think I could. Now, what is formidable? You're not going to beat the Warriors, but at least you're going to make the playoffs. At least you're going to get to the second, possibly third round. All these teams, it seems to me here in the last week, you've got Danny Ainge trading 1 to get down to 3, and he may want to dangle 3 to go get Porzingis to bring up to Boston. It seems to me that these teams are floating out there trying to get out from under bad contracts. The Lakers had a bad contract with Mozgov, terrible contract. So they trade D'Angelo Russell, who wasn't anything great out in L.A. Loved him at Ohio State, got to L.A., wasn't a good player, wasn't a good teammate. Stuff in the locker room that wasn't good. And so they get Brook Lopez, who's got like, I don't know, $30 million, I believe. And this will be his last year. God bless Brook Lopez for getting $30 million. I look up and say, I finished at 6'8". I wish I were 6'11 and could barely move and get $30 million to do it. All these moves, though, are to set up to go after LeBron next year and Westbrook next year and others. And so are the Lakers going to be that team that moves into that position to go build a super team. And over here in Phoenix, what are they going to do? Are they going to go about their business methodically and say that we have all this flexibility and we have all this and we have all that? You have a star player that, in my opinion, should have a say in what is going on. Not to say this is what we're doing, but hey, Devin, what do you think about this player? We put him alongside of you. I think in this day and age of NBA, that should be part of the conversation. We said here 2 years ago, Philadelphia was going to be better than the Suns. We've said it for the last couple of years. The minute Brian was hired there, Brian Colangelo, there was no question that the 76ers were going to become a player. Well, guess what? They're going to pass the Suns, and they're going to be a playoff team in all likelihood, barring injury. And we're sitting over here with, okay, we've got assets. We're building some nice players. We're almost there. Guys, the world is moving at a light speed right by you here in Phoenix. Every NBA team is trying to do something. What are you going to do here? Is it just we're going to take the fourth player with the draft and have the same cast of characters? I don't think you can do that.
And the way the West is built, Brad, it's like tiered. The playoff teams are tiered. You have the elite, and then you have the very good, and then you have the bottom of the West, like the 6, 7, 8 seeds in the playoffs, which are still far better than the Suns. So the Suns have to climb so many different ladders. I'm just wondering in the next 48 hours if something big is going to happen, because like you talked about, the assets and everyone else is moving. There's all these deals. And you know, we know McDonough has made the trade last year to get Bender and Chris, or made the trade to get Chris. But I wonder if this is the year that we really see something big in terms of players moving, draft picks moving in the next couple days.
Aren't you fine if Chris gets traded?
I'd be fine with it. It just depends. Again, it depends on what are you bringing back. Because there has to be, the Suns need to make some sort of splash. All these teams around the NBA, specifically our neighbors out to the west, the Lakers, are already starting to make splashes.
Oh my gosh. It's, and making a splash doesn't mean you go make a trade. Just
no,
to get
don't
people
be no, no, don't
it.
Be reckless.
Yeah,
but you, like you said, the Suns have talked all this time about these assets and the pieces
Enough
and the
it.
Young pieces and the movable parts.
And I think, you know, with David Griffin being blown out in Cleveland, this really is Ryan's chance to move the organization forward. And if he doesn't move the organization forward, if we're sitting here looking at this thing and they're just kind of sort of going about their business, look, as long as Magic's out in L.A., you've got a much better recruiter than what you have over here. No offense to Ryan. I actually like Ryan.
For a number of reasons.
But having Ryan McDonough sit there versus Magic Johnson to say, hey, come play. And these people, they're like, oh, you should be loving on Phoenix more and beat L.A. and all that. No.
You can't compare this. I mean, if you're selling points between the Suns and the Lakers, the Suns aren't going to get many points in those categories.
No, and Robert needs to, because he wants a new building. Robert wants a shiny new building. It's no secret. And how do you get a shiny new building if next year you win 26 games? And then say, well, you know what? Next year we have all these assets. And next year we have all these assets. Do something of substance now, because everybody else is moving past you. We'll have John Ireland here in a couple minutes. There's a few other things I want to get to in this segment. So the baseball game last night, and I'm going to talk further about this later. The beauty of baseball is when a manager makes a decision and we're sitting there watching the game and we're managing along with him. That's what I was doing last night. Archie Bradley's up in the bullpen. Greinke's almost near 100 pitches. Arenado's at the plate. Arenado hits one to right, goes over the head of the right fielder, two-run score, ball game over. After Goldschmidt and Peralta had hit home runs to give the Diamondbacks a lead. It was a great game last night. It was a great game. It was the highest rated game on Fox Sports Arizona this season. Highest rated baseball game. What a surprise. Because every pitch there was drama. And the Diamondbacks didn't play a good game last night. They left runners in position. They had a couple of errors. They didn't look very good early. They looked like the team that was a little jittery, I thought. But the decision of pitching to Arenado and not going to Archie Bradley. So Lovello got a little chippy about it. He stuck by his guns. I mean, as chippy as I've seen him in his post game last night when he was asked about that decision. So that was interesting. Phil Mickelson parts ways with his caddy of 25 years, Jim Bones Mackay. Why is this significant? Obviously, because Phil's an ASU guy, and Phil's been here in the Valley. He's known. He's doing business stuff here. But think about this. If you're with somebody for 25 years, like Eric and I have been together off and on for 20-plus years, and Eric and I are going to do this till I'm 6 feet under, unless Eric doesn't want to do this. It's just how it is. I don't know who instigated it, if it was Phil walking to Jim or Jim walking to Phil. Micaiah, double knee replacement. He lives here in the Valley. There was some stuff yesterday that he was going to go be on the bag for John Rahm, who just left ASU, that Tim Mickelson is going to go on the bag for Phil. Regardless, Phil's shaking things up. And I find that to be really interesting. Watching this weekend, watching the Open this weekend, outside of Ricky Fowler, there just wasn't a whole lot there. I have to have Phil because Tiger's a mess. That's not happening anytime soon. I've got to have Phil. All right, John Ireland's on the other side. We'll get to John out in Los Angeles on what are the Lakers doing tomorrow night and all this movement. Are the Lakers trying to build a super team? And as a Suns fan, you should be into this. Right, if they get Westbrook, LeBron, George, they're just going to go get every last player. We'll talk to John Ireland about that on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now let's go out to Los Angeles. John Ireland joins us, longtime voice of the Lakers. He also has his show on the ESPN affiliate in LA as well, with everything going on around the Lakers. So just get right to the chase here. LeBron, Westbrook, George, a year from now, that's what we're talking about, or sooner than that.
Hold on, Brad. Let me be unrude and take my speakerphone. There you go.
Oh, that's fine. You're good.
I'm running from one place to another in this ever-changing world in which we live.
I love it.
They're all coming. We're getting them all. You know that. We're
sure.
Getting LeBron. We're getting Westbrook.
Sure.
We're getting Paul George. We're going to get Michael Jordan to come out of retirement and play for us, if you believe everything on the internet. It seems clear now, and Magic Johnson offered this up a couple of months ago. It seems clear now that they are gearing up for next year when all the big free agents hit the market.
Mm-hmm.
And this trade they pulled off yesterday, Brad, I you don't have enough time for me to tell you how much I like it. I thought that they would have huge difficulty getting out from either Mozgov or Deng. The two, arguably two of the three worst contracts in the NBA. I think Joakim Noah is probably the other one. And I have no idea how they did it. And so, Brad, just to put that in perspective, Mozgov was still owed on his deal. He was coming up on the second year of a four-year guaranteed deal and was still owed $50 million. And this is a guy that didn't play for us.
Right.
His backup. For us was better than he was. So we owed him $50 million. And I said on my show and in many other places, there's no way anyone's going to take that dead money on that contract. And not only did these guys trade it, but they got another number one pick coming back. So the Lakers and Brook Lopez, who's a much better player, has 1 year left on his deal. So now they've got his bird rights, they've got a much better player, and they have three number one picks. And I think all this stuff they're doing is positioning themselves for next year. If they hang on to these three picks, we think they're taking Lonzo with number two, and then now they've got 27 and 28. They'll have three young players to go with whoever they get. And if they want to go after Paul George now, they just package 27 and 28 along with one of our young guys and maybe get him to come early.
Okay, so let's go over on LeBron, because that's obviously the big, big headline here. Is it going to come down, John, from your view? You're right in the middle of it with your show between the Clippers and Lakers next year.
I don't know. It seems weird, doesn't it, that
He
would choose to come west, not only to take on the Warriors, but to take them on in their own division? It depends who you believe. I have a good friend of mine who hosts a talk show in Cleveland. He works on the Cavs broadcast. And he says that the way he's reading this is, it depends who the Cavs hire to replace David Griffin. That if they hire somebody who's aggressive, and I don't know, you know, we keep hearing Chauncey Billups, so
right.
we don't know if it's going to be somebody else, and that person adds to their mix and is able to build and add a little bit more, that maybe LeBron doesn't leave, but the narrative is that his wife wants to live in their house in L.A. full-time, that his business interests come out here, And I, for one, think that the reason the Clippers went after Jerry West was to give him more skin in that game. So it's probably too early to call it. But, you know, if some of these reporters are right and he's coming west to the Lakers or Clippers, the Lakers are just saving up cap space so they can let him bring some of his friends with him.
John Ireland with us. Before I let you go, so Lonzo is the pick tomorrow night from your view, locked, done, 100%, or still up in the air?
I'm going to give myself 1% of wiggle room.
Okay.
I think that,
take that.
99% it's him. I think that was what was behind the Russell trade. They knew that, you know, Russell is kind of a tweener. He's in between a one and a two. And if you get Lonzo and give him the ball, we've got some other pretty good options to play the other guard spot. There was David Aldridge floated a story out there that they were looking to maybe move the number two pick to take Sacramento's 5 and 10. He's the only one I've heard say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like David, and he's a Hall of Fame reporter, but I'm pretty close to the Lakers. And my read on it, Brad, is taking Lonzo for sure. And by the way, you're down there in Arizona. I think if they passed on him, that the Suns would probably take him.
Sure, they should.
So I want to see what Lonzo can do. He led the country in assists as a freshman.
Right.
He makes other people better with his passing. He put on a show in his 1 year at UCLA. I hope it's Lonzo. I think it's Lonzo, but I'll give myself 1% wiggle room for the unknown.
Let you go off that, John. As always, appreciate the time. Thanks. Stay well.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good day.
John Ireland with us. Always good to catch up with John Ireland. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So where are we at today in sports when it comes to marijuana? Keyshawn Johnson's son, Keyshawn Johnson Jr., is a wide receiver at Nebraska. Very talented wide receiver. We've talked about him the last few years during his recruitment. ASU was trying to get him and so on and so forth. So Keyshawn Johnson Jr. decided to go to Nebraska. Went to Nebraska last year at the turn. Did not finish his classes early in high school. Went off to college to try to get ready. Went there as a freshman to play for Mike Riley. Last month, Keyshawn Johnson Jr. was cited for suspicion of marijuana, and that happened on campus, smoking weed down in his dorm. And so we have a lot of abuse that is going on college campus, and I'm not exaggerating that. It seems like there's always a story of abuse that is going on involving athletes. Fairly or unfairly, it is out there on college campuses. It's not just Baylor, it's everywhere. Keyshawn Sr., the dad, the former wide receiver, not happy with his son at all. Goes back there, says, "You will not embarrass Nebraska. You will not embarrass Mike Riley, and you will not embarrass this family. You're not playing football this year." He's putting him on a six-month maturity timeout. A six-month maturity timeout. So I'm not going to sit here and advocate one way or another on the marijuana side. I'm looking at it from this standpoint only. Is this something that is of that magnitude that a player should be pulled off by a dad and saying, you need to go grow up? In the Johnson household, it is. I can't tell you what it would be like in my household because I haven't had that situation. "You will not embarrass Nebraska, Mike Riley, or this family." Furthering Keyshawn's quote, "You're in college now. You're not a kid." How often, though, do we see in college, doesn't make it right. You know, I'll ask somebody, why is this kid not playing, or why is this kid erratic? He's a pothead. That's the general description. Guy can't stay away from weed. Weed is all over the place. It's a place where you go to try to wind down from all the pressure of being a student athlete. And if you don't think there's pressure involved with student athletes, I have to tell you, I would disagree with you. Doesn't mean that it's right. They're not all from two-parent households that have affluent income coming in. They're not of affluency. Not every, believe it or not, there are kids in college that don't have anything. I know that you know that I'm joking. At least I hope you do. So these kids that are from the single parent and they're feeling the pressure to get it done, and they have the aunts and uncles that are telling them, you're going to be in the NFL, and they're all lined up. Yeah, they got to go escape somehow. I'm not saying that's what happened here. But find this story really interesting, that a star NFL player, usually the narrative that you hear on the back end is, well, you know, it was just being at the wrong place at the wrong time. They really didn't do anything. And I've had PR people have told me that, well, it was just wrong place, wrong time. And, you know, this really isn't that big of a deal. And you guys really shouldn't make that big of a deal out of it. Well, maybe we should make a big deal out of this story that a dad actually said, hey, son, grow up, get out. You're not going to play football this year. You got to go figure it out. You need a maturity timeout.
And the more you peel back the onion on this, there are quite a few layers. Okay, this kid is going from Calabasas, California, to the middle of America in Omaha, Nebraska, where I was just there over the weekend. You can't even think of the difference between the coast and the Midwest.
How many pot farms are in Lincoln?
I don't know. Lots of farm farms. Like,
yeah, lots of farm farms.
I don't know
farms.
About pot,
you gotta
pot
figure,
farms.
You got to figure somewhere in the middle of this cornfield, somebody's got another field.
I'm sure of that.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much open land. It'd be pretty easy to do. But anyway, we digress. And then you have these athletes, student athletes in high school. You know, high school probably isn't a problem academically, and they play a lot of sports, and they play club sports. When you get to college, you have to adapt to being a college student away from home. You have to adapt to being on the scholar-athlete schedule, which is demanding even for these kids when it's not in the middle of their season. Like when we had Kalen Ballage on a couple weeks ago, I mean, his training schedule and his summer school schedule isn't quite as strict and detailed as it is during the season, but God, these kids put in a lot
of
time.
Like Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
It's like we tried to get Christian Kirk in studio and he's out here and he couldn't work.
I mean, he wanted to do it. We couldn't make our schedules match.
Our schedules
like,
work.
Hey, can we do it at 6:30 in the morning? No, we are not in the studio at 6:30 in the morning for that little sliver of time before his 10-hour day starts.
How many parents, though, would go to that extreme? Because usually, and let's be honest here, this is Keyshawn Johnson's kid. So this kid probably back in Nebraska, hey, that's Keyshawn's kid.
Oh, I'm sure.
Keyshawn's kid can't drop a football. Keyshawn's kid can't get outrun by somebody. Keyshawn's kid's got to be able to do everything because he's Keyshawn's kid.
He caught one pass in the spring game for 7 yards and reportedly fumbled at the end of the play.
Okay, so there's that pressure.
It's been tough. He got hurt, I guess, when he got there in January, and he had some nagging injuries, and then this whole thing. I mean, maybe this is just a different sort of redshirt season. He's not going to be back on campus anytime soon.
But is marijuana, a small amount of marijuana, enough to embarrass a university in this day and age?
I would say no.
Okay, and I would disagree with you. I think anytime a police blotter story pops up, and it's a high profile player.
That you hit the nail on the head, Brad. If this was John Smith from Memphis, Tennessee, a 4-star recruit who went to Nebraska, wouldn't probably get the same buzz as Keyshawn Johnson Jr., a 4-star recruit.
Nice play on words, by the way.
Yeah.
Nice buzz.
Yeah.
Good buzz.
The story that I was reading mentioned there was a joint meeting between Keyshawn Johnson and Mike Riley. I got a chuckle out of that,
too. That's good. Boy, you're on fire.
I didn't write. Hey, you know what? I'm just reading what they wrote.
You know, somebody wrote that, and they're like, let's see if people pick up on this. So I guess on this one, he's not going to play this year. Nebraska, and there's been some buzz. I'm going to use that word. There's been some buzz, again, about the Big 12. I'm going to digress over here to talk about on the field. I'm going to shift, just nimbly move over to this. About the Big 12 and the Pac-12 joining forces and getting together. And I really believe that there is going to be something of substance involving the Big 12 and somebody. And if that is the Pac-12, that would make a ton of sense to me. We just saw where Spencer Rattler was back at Oklahoma this last week. They're coming out here. Spencer Rattler has been over to USC. He's been to UCLA. The Big 12 is trying to remain relevant on a national space. You can argue that they are relevant. How can you say try to remain relevant? From a dollars and cents standpoint and having Baylor, that's embarrassed university, sit out there, you're not going to get the same television dollar. You're just flat not. But if you partner with the Pac-12 and look at some super conference or mega conference, I remember back in the day when it was the Pac-8, I was a kid. And then it went to the Pac-10. And then when people were talking about, well, this is going to be the Pac-12, like, what? Change happens. And whoever's going to be the forward-thinking one, like the SEC having Missouri as part of their conference now, who would have ever scripted that? Does Vanderbilt even have a place in the SEC when it comes to football? I think there's, when you look at, like, the Big Ten having Maryland as part of the conference, that makes no sense.
Yeah, Rutgers.
Rutgers. Makes no sense.
The schools like it because those are two pretty fertile recruiting areas for all sports.
Well,
New Jersey
New York,
and Maryland.
New Jersey television market. You have Washington, D.C. as a television
market. But from a travel... But I guess is travel even that big of a deal anymore?
No. It's like Gonzaga talking to the Big East for basketball.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because they are. The Zags are talking to the Big East.
You'd have to go for the whole week.
So there's all this stuff in college football and college athletics. And, you know, the story of Keyshawn Johnson Jr., just put a bow on it, is a small story on one level. But on another level, I think it's pretty significant that a dad, would take that stance. I'll give you another football story that's in the news cycle today, and that's Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp wants to donate his brain to the Concussion Legacy Foundation. Warren Sapp's a Hall of Famer who's had a lot of problems off the field. And those problems primarily work out in the way of being caught with a woman of the night, and that's about it. And it shouldn't be happening, and he gets taken off TV and so on and so forth. Is Warren Sapp one of those players that is so troubled by brain trauma that he can't control himself? He said that he's got to use his cell phone to put reminders in every day and load them into his phone because without it, he doesn't know where he is at times. This is Warren Sapp. Whether you like Warren Sapp or don't like Warren Sapp, it's another Hall of Fame player that has just been crushed by the concussion story. He went on further and just ripped the NFL to shreds for how the owners don't care and so on and so forth. You know, in a time of year where the NFL is underwater, and I saw where Michael's overseas today pumping up the Cardinals game. That's fine. It's what he should be doing. That's smart. But for the most part, these former players, it's becoming a regular occurrence. And I don't see this as a money grab. This may be some PR. There are players that have gone out on the concussion circuit, and they've been asking for more money. I've heard that. And they've been seeking, some additional fame, which may bring additional opportunities to make money because they're scuffling being out of the NFL. That story caught my eye, though, in the news cycle today about Warren Sapp. On the other side, we're going to circle back on the NBA and trade rumors up to this point today, with the draft being held tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have Steve Broussard with us from FS1. Steve Broussard, NBA insider. Very good. We used to be with ESPN.
Chris Broussard.
What did I say? Steve Broussard. Yeah. I said the running back from Washington State.
He did.
Chris Broussard. I wonder if anybody else screws that one up. You're like, Steve Broussard. Wow, Brad's
no
throwback.
But you said it to me a few times, too. I remember the first time you said that in a text. I was like, Steve Broussard, NBA. Oh, Chris Broussard.
I don't know where my head is.
That's all right.
Yeah, Chris Broussard with us tomorrow. And it'll be all about the draft. And we'll have Goody at the Movies tomorrow, too. And then Friday, Jeff Munn is in here wrapping up the Suns, everything around the draft. On our website, by the way, Espo, Eric, and Jordan are all going to be at the Suns draft tomorrow night. So there'll be plenty of content up on the website. Our television show tonight is on Fox Sports Arizona, following the Diamondbacks-Rockies game. Right afterwards, all the coverage, we'll have our show, Brad Sussmatt, Football AZ. More after this timeout. So there's a couple other things before we get out of here. One is Phoenix Rising. So just briefly, there's been some movement today out in San Diego. It actually started last night. San Diego was one of those teams that looked like was a sure thing to get one of the MLS franchises. They're going to grant two of them in December. Rising, in my opinion, was trailing San Diego a couple of months ago. Now I believe they're in front of them. And with this bit of news, I think this is very good if you're a fan of getting the MLS here. In San Diego, they weren't able to work through the ballot measure that they were going to have for this year. Instead, it's going to be in 2018, which means they're going to miss being approved for their location, their funding, everything, the business side, before the MLS grants the franchises in December. So San Diego's out of the mix. I have to believe with what Drogba's doing and how the organization is getting their business side bolstered up. They've made some key business moves. Guys, we're going to have MLS here next year at this time. Or 2 years from now. Next year, they'd still have to be USL. It would be for 20 that they would start. So it's 19. I'll get it right. 19 that they would start. So they're in a position, I think, that's very advantageous. And with this bit of news that San Diego fell apart, you got to take the fifth largest television market that's just sitting there. You have to. And you have Drogba involved in this. So we're going to have another major sport here. I don't know if the hockey team will be here at the same time, if they're going to be here much longer. The Coyotes announced today that they will open up their season with the new Las Vegas Knights team. The first game in the history of the Las Vegas Knights is going to be against the Coyotes on October 7th. That came out today. And on the NBA trade front, so the Rockets, according to Sports Illustrated today, the Rockets are making Ryan Anderson, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams all available. And they're trying to go after Paul Millsap, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry. James Harden wants to have some help down in Houston. Paul Millsap would make a lot of sense there. Paul Millsap would make sense here, too. The Clippers have talked about the DeAndre Jordan trade with several teams again today. And Jimmy Butler has told the Cavaliers he's going to remain in Chicago. The conspiracy theory today out of Cleveland is the players of the Cavaliers are telling Jimmy Butler, don't come here. Without David Griffin, you don't want to come here. And all this takes you back to the Suns. Now, I'm into De'Aaron Fox tomorrow night myself, if they sit there at four. If they try and trade back, if they trade back to 5 and 10, I'm down with that. I'm not of the opinion that they should move up if it involves trading the fourth pick plus Chris or Bledsoe. Is there a player that is that valuable? As much as I love Lonzo Ball, I don't think trading the fourth and trading Bledsoe at this point, to me, I wouldn't do that. And I don't believe that the Lakers would do that either, but there's been some talk of the Suns trying to move up. And tonight we have the Diamondbacks playing. They have Taijuan Walker on the mound. So that's our show for today. Thanks for being with us. We want to thank the people behind the scenes that make it happen day in and day out as well. We have plenty of content over on our website at sports360az.com. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. And tonight our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, right after the Diamondbacks play Colorado again last night, the highest rated game of the year for the Diamondbacks. That is very, very good news that people are watching what they're doing. Thanks to our sponsors. Without them, we don't do this. And thanks to you for joining us every day. I'm Brad Sussmat. We'll see you tomorrow.